WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present The Enemies Within with host Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker, and public speaker. Trevor was born and raised in New Zealand, but now resides in the United States of America. For more than 30 years, Trevor has researched the radical left, socialism, communism, and Marxism, as well as terrorist movements and organizations. Trevor is the author of several books and the producer of several documentaries. And now, WVW-TV presents Trevor Loudon.
Hi, welcome to Encounter. Welcome to another episode of Enemies Within with Trevor Loudon. I'm actually in New Zealand today. I will be here for the next few weeks. I hope the internet keeps up. And I'm going to talk a little about New Zealand today and its relevance to the United States, how the communists took over New Zealand, and the impact that that had on America. So please stay tuned for straight after this broadcast.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to thank you for watching Trevor Loudon's show. And I want to invite you to support Trevor's work by going to trevorloudon.com and checking out Trevor's excellent books. Let me show you some of his books. Here they are, Security Risk Senators. It took two volumes to get this done. These are highly documented. Security Risk Senators, Part 1, Arizona to Massachusetts, Part 2, Michigan to Virginia. I interviewed Trevor for several hours on these books when they came out. They're a must for everybody's library. Enemies Within, this is a DVD. You should indeed have this in your library as well. This book, White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risk Running for U.S. President in 2020. You may say, wait a minute, that's 2020, that's a dated book. Actually, it's not, because the individuals being discussed are still around today and in government and endeavoring to run for office. This is a historical book. This book, White House Reds, gives you the historical background of many of the communist and socialist front groups in America today and many of the candidates, well, that ran for president but are still around today. So this book is very relevant. The Enemies Within movie. Then we have Burn This Book, Barack Obama and the Enemies Within. These are some of Trevor's excellent resources. Not only should these be a part of your library and that of your family and friends, but this is also a great way to support the work of Trevor Loudon. So everybody wins. You get great books and resources, and you're supporting Trevor Loudon so he can keep this TV show going. So please, go to trevorloudon.com right now. trevorloudon.com right now. Make your purchases and share this website with your family and friends. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much, Brandon. And today, I know we're all on tenterhooks to see if President Trump is indicted or not, or whether that is going to be turn out to be a bluff and what the consequences of that will be. But I thought I'd talk today about my own journey, how I came from working in New Zealand as a political activist to doing TV shows, etc., in the United States. Because my journey actually illustrates how communism really works. Now, I come from New Zealand, as you know, and I'm near Christchurch at the moment, my hometown, near where I went to high school a few years ago. Back in World War II, my dad, he's still alive, thankfully, was a little boy, and they were terrified of a Soviet invasion. Not a Soviet invasion, a Japanese invasion of the country. And if it hadn't been for the sacrifice of your fathers and uncles and grandfathers who stopped the Japanese at the battles of Guadalcanal and the Coral Sea and Midway, I might not be here, folks. So that's very personal to me. Now, and then in 1984, a very, significant year, New Zealand elected a socialist Labour government led by Prime Minister David Longhi. Now, one of the very first things that they did was to enact legislation banning nuclear warships from New Zealand harbours. Now, as America was the only country sending nuclear warships to New Zealand harbours at the time, this effectively destroyed the Australia, New Zealand, United States, ANZUS military alliance. And it still hasn't been resurrected to this day, 30 years hence. So this sort of upset me a lot because, I thought, Americans were very, New Zealanders were very grateful to America. New Zealanders is very grateful to be part of a military alliance with America. And as, China was growing in the Pacific, we could start to see the potential threat from China. And we could, at that time, we certainly saw the threat from the Soviet Union. But the left prevailed and the legislation was passed and the military alliance was destroyed. Well, at that time, I got to know a Dutch New Zealander who had infiltrated the New Zealand Communist Party, the pro-Soviet Communist Party called the Socialist Unity Party. He had infiltrated that for our security services, our security intelligence service, our SIS, as we call it. And he started out as a tanker, an oil tanker driver in Wellington, the capital of New Zealand. He'd got involved with the Drivers' Union in Wellington, which was completely controlled by the Socialist Unity Party. And he basically wormed his way inside the Socialist Unity Party, reporting to the Security Intelligence Service. So he was a government spy inside the communists. And after several years, he was selected to travel to, this was happened in the late 70s. In 1983, he and three genuine communists, what is it? Peter Devlin, Bill Thompson, and Alan Weir were all sent to Moscow to train at Lenin's Institute for Higher Learning. Now, they all had co names. Alan Weir became Alan Wolf. James Peter Devlin became Peter J, etc. They all surrendered their passports when they started training at the big school in Moscow. This was called Lenin's Institute for Higher Learning, sometimes called the Institute for Social Sciences. And there were 3,500 students from all over the world. Virtually every country was represented. Some were on 7-year courses. The New Zealanders did about 3 months generally because of the work situation in New Zealand. The only country not represented at the time were the United States. There were no American communist training at Lenin's Institute because apparently the US had told the Soviets that had any Americans ever been caught training there, there would be war. World War between America and the Soviet Union. They took it that seriously. But what the Soviets would do, they wouldn't train Americans, they would train Canadian communists or Mexican communists who would then go to America and train the American communists. So they still got round it as the Soviets always did. Very, very devious people. Now, my friend, I'll call him John because that was his name, was shocked to find that at Moscow they were very prepared. They had 16 experts on New Zealand alone. They had sociologists, historians, they had people who had lived undercover in New Zealand for years at a time. They knew the sporting culture, the religious culture, the political culture, the business culture. They knew New Zealand way better than most New Zealanders did. So they knew New Zealand's psychology. Now, at the time, Ronald Reagan was challenging the Soviets in Europe because at the time, the Soviets were organizing massive anti-nuclear marches through Europe. Get America out of Europe, disband NATO, ban the bomb, all this kind of thing. Big marches in Rome, the big Greenham Common protests in Britain, big marches in Strasbourg and Paris and Copenhagen, all these countries, all organized by the Soviet Union, because the Soviets knew that if they could disband NATO, which is exactly what Putin's trying to do today, if they could disband NATO, that would pave the way for a Soviet invasion of Europe. The Soviets almost invaded Europe in on 1983. They came that close. But they pulled back just at the last moment. And now the Soviets are thinking, we wish we had gone then, that we should have gone then. But they didn't. But their plan has always been to invade Europe. Their plan has always been world domination. That has never changed. So a few things happened in Moscow. The main thing was this. The Soviets wanted to break up NATO, but Thatcher and Reagan and the Pope were too darn strong. So they thought, well, we're chess players, we're strategic. We'll take another country out of the Western alliance, and that will spur on the European peace movement. That will lead, will help spur the breakup of NATO and the conquest of Europe. So they chose New Zealand because we were very small. We're the smallest member of the Western alliance, really. We had the communists pretty much controlled our labor unions. The communists had heavily infiltrated our labor party, just like they do the Democratic Party in America, or the Canadian Liberal Party in Canada, or the British Labor Party in Britain. And they also completely controlled the New Zealand peace movement. So what they basically came up with was this. We're going to design a series of slogans. We want New Zealand out of ANZUS. This will help the destruction of NATO. So they knew New Zealanders were very pro-American, because so this couldn't be a pro-American, an anti-American thing. This had to be pro-New Zealand. New Zealanders standing against the nuclear arms race. New Zealanders striking an independent foreign policy. New Zealanders standing against nuclear Armageddon. Something that Kiwis, New Zealanders could be proud of. Not anti-American, pro-New Zealand. They took these slogans back to New Zealand, these four comrades, and they held secret meetings with the New Zealand Labour Party and the peace movement and the unions. They actually signed a formal contract with the New Zealand Labour Party. And the deal was this. There was two factions in Labour at the time. There was a pro-free market economic faction and a pro-left, pro-Soviet foreign policy faction. This was the deal that was struck. The country would adopt the Soviet Union's foreign policy, the anti-nuclear stand, more orientation towards the Eastern Bloc. Meanwhile, in exchange for that, the communist-controlled unions would keep the unions under control while the free market segment was allowed to privatize the New Zealand economy. And people are still wondering why the unions did nothing when Sir Roger Douglas, the Labour finance minister, privatized everything he could, cut taxes, pro-free market, led to great economic success. But the communists didn't care about that, because the real goal was the destruction of NATO. They didn't care if New Zealand had a free market experiment. That was fine as long as they got the foreign policy. So that was the deal that was done. So legislation was passed, nuclear warships were banned from our harbors, and hey presto, New Zealand was no longer in the ANZUS alliance. Well, of course, NATO did not collapse because Reagan remained strong, though NATO came under huge pressure. And then we saw the so-called collapse of the Soviet Union in 1989. So it was all for nothing, right? Well, not quite. Now, we need to understand, and I'm a follower of the theories of Anatoly Galitsyn, who was a Soviet KGB officer who defected in 1961, very high ranking. And he said basically there'll be a fake collapse of communism sometime in the 80s. Now, this was, he defected in 1961, people. He wrote a book, New Lies for Old, which is must reading. You can get it on Amazon today, New Lies for Old by Anatoly Galitsyn. He put that out in 1984, predicting a big Soviet collapse at the end of the decade. You know, the Berlin Wall would come down, the word communism would disappear, and it was all about putting the West off its guard, demilitarization of the West, hopefully the destruction of NATO, which the Putin is still working on, and then the invasion of Europe and the conquest of the world. That was the plan. It was a strategic deception. So my friend John, he said in Moscow, two things. Now, you won't believe these two stories, I'm sure, but bear them in mind when you look at the world today. Two things. One, Afghanistan was raging at the time. This was the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, started in 1979. And the communists from all over the world were moaning and just carrying on at the Soviet instructors. What is happening in Afghanistan? This is terrible for Soviet prestige. The mighty Red Army bogged down by tribesmen. What is going on? This is 3,500 communists, all embarrassed by this and just, you know, just giving the Soviet instructors a hard time. The Soviet instructors just said, look, this is our plan. This is a strategic deception. America had its Vietnam. America got a bloody nose. America was embarrassed on the world stage by people in pajamas. We are going to have our Vietnam. We are going to fight the Afghan tribesmen 8 or 9 years, and we are going to retreat with our tail between our legs, and the Americans will laugh at us, and they will no longer fear us, and then they will disarm, and then we will secretly rearm, and we'll be at an advantage, and we will take them out. We will take the humiliation for a victory down a little bit later on. Well, that's pretty incredible to most Americans, because they think, you know, we, Charlie Wilson's war, we won Afghanistan, we gave the Mujahideen Stinger missiles, turned the course of the war. The Soviets could have cleaned that place up in 6 months. It was a strategic deception. And in the 90s, when Clinton was disarming, people would say, we shouldn't be disarming like this. What about Russia? Who cares about Russia? They couldn't even beat a bunch of towel heads in Afghanistan. And this is the problem with Ukraine today. We see the ineffectiveness of the Russian military, and we think, what do we have to fear? What we have to fear is 6 to 20,000 state-of-the-art nuclear weapons ready to go at a moment's notice. We shouldn't be looking at the conventional thing. We should be looking at the nuclear thing, because that's what they're going to use against us in conjunction with China. China will supply the men on the ground. Russia will supply the nukes. That's the plan. So another thing that came out, now Galitzin said in his books that there would be a new leader coming out in the mid-80s, a new Soviet leader who would have an opening to the West, who would be very charming and willing to put a human face on communism and willing to accommodate the West. Well, that was obviously Mr. Gorbachev. Now, Galitzin's book was written in 1984. Gorbachev came on the scene in 85. My friend was starting in Moscow in 1983. Chernenko was the power then, and they were told exactly the same thing. There's going to be a massive opening to the West. We're going to have a new leader who offers many concessions. We will probably see the Eastern European states let go. We will see a de-emphasization of communism. Communism always does better in periods of peace and detente, where we can steal more stuff, we can subvert more people, we can build up our weaponry ready for the final war. We're going to have the biggest detente you've ever seen. Now, this was, of course, glasnost and perestroika. Now, Galitzin made the point. He said that Soviet leaders, see, in America, you elect the president and they enact a policy. Well, that's not how it works in the Soviet Union or Russia. The Communist Party of the Soviet Union and the secret KGB decide on a policy going forward. Then they choose a leader to fulfill that policy. That's a key difference. See, what my friend John was told, he was told that, well, in Moscow, the original new leader was supposed to be Andropov, who came to power about 1981. And he was portrayed in the Western media as this hip, cool, jazz-loving, whiskey-drinking, new breed of Soviet leader. But he died of kidney disease. So they had to put the old Stalinist Konstantin Chernenko in until they could train up the new leader, which was, of course, Mr. Gorbachev. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. So Gorbachev was put in place by the Communist Party to dismantle communism, not to really dismantle communism. What they did was basically they took all the wealth of the Communist parties and gave them to certain oligarchs to hold in trust. Their plan was to let the West bring in tons and tons of money, tons and tons. They would have enough. They reasoned they had enough secret communists in Germany to take over West Germany. They reckoned they had enough people left in Ukraine and Poland and Romania and Bulgaria to keep covert control. But openly, these would be new democratic nations. So they put the plan into effect. The West disarmed. The West pumped in tons and tons and tons of money, lots and lots and lots of investment. The Soviets used that. The Russians used that to build up their military. And they kept on building it up, breaking treaties while America was steadily disarming. Especially under Obama, you know, under Bill Clinton, under Obama, it was disarm, disarm, disarm. Trump tried to do something about that as much as he could, but there wasn't a lot he could get done given the resistance he was getting. The deep state is Russian, by the way. That's who controls the deep state. And anyway, so this is what happened. The Polish genuinely, they failed in West Germany. The West German intelligence services were too clever, and they weeded out most of the communists. So West Germany and East Germany were united, but they didn't go communist. They remained free. Poland genuinely purged many, many, many communists. So Poland maintained its freedom. Not so much Hungary, not so much Czechoslovakia. Bulgaria is still controlled by the same people. Romania is pretty much still controlled by communists. Moldova eventually broke free. And Ukraine was pretty much under communist control right through to 2014 when the Maidan Revolution threw out the Russians. Now, though they immediately started accusing, calling this the color revolution instituted by the CIA, etc. It was a genuine revolution because the leader of Ukraine at the time, the pro-Russian, said we can't trade with Western Europe. We got to trade with Russia because Putin says so. And that sparked a genuine revolt. I'm sure the Americans joined in at some point, but it was a genuine revolt by the people. And they threw the Russians out and started to de-corrupt the country. Because most of the corruption we hear about with the Biden family, et cetera, was when the Russians controlled Ukraine. But the modern Ukrainian people get blamed for it all the time. Russian propaganda, and more Russian propaganda. So ever since 2014, there has been a genuine, a huge effort by the Russians to blacken the name of Ukraine. They're Nazis, they're corrupt, they're sex traffickers. All of the crimes they accuse Ukraine of are three times worse in Russia, five times worse. Ukraine is probably on a par with New Jersey when it comes to corruption. You know, Russia is the most corrupt country on the planet, with the possible exception of China. So anyway, so now we've come forward that it didn't work out quite as well for the Russians as they hoped, because Ukraine generally broke free, Poland broke free, and East Germany East Germany didn't take over West Germany as was planned. But then West Germany got Angela Merkel, who was Russia's best friend. She was a former leader of the East German Communist Youth, who trained in Moscow, the ideological leader, who then became a conservative. And the German Conservative Party allowed her to become the leader, chancellor. And she opened up Germany to Russia. Now they have Olaf Scholz, the German premier, who used to go to East Germany back in the day for meetings with Egon Krenz and other communist leaders. You wonder why Germany's been very slow to give Leopard tanks to the Ukrainians? Because Olaf Scholz is a pro-Russian communist. That is why. The premier of Germany, the chancellor of Germany, is a pro-Russian communist. This all came out and information released by the former head of the German intelligence services, but he's still in power. So This is why I'm so passionate about Ukraine, because to fulfill the Soviet plan to strike America with one closed fist, Russia needs to rebuild the old Soviet Union. They can't attack Western Europe while Ukraine is standing in the way. That is why they are so hell-bent on taking Ukraine. That is why they're sacrificing thousands of people, tens of thousands of their people, to take Ukraine. Because when they take Ukraine, then they can put nuclear blackmail on NATO, dissolve NATO, they conquer Europe, then Russia and China attack the United States together with Iran, with Cuba, with Venezuela, with Nicaragua, probably South Africa, and who knows which way India is going to go right now. So that's the plan. And the only thing stopping the fulfillment of this 60-year Soviet plan for taking down America is the bravery of the Ukrainian people and the resoluteness of some Western European leaders, like the president of Latvia. Who have actually, and obviously the leadership of Poland, who have given real and genuine support to the Ukrainians. Ukraine is the one thing standing between us and World War III and destruction. The one thing. But the Russian propaganda has been so effective in this country that probably 70 or 80% of conservatives in this country either believe we should not support Ukraine, or in some cases are actually supporting Vladimir Putin, because they believe he's going to save us from the George Soros, Klaus Schwab, sex trafficking, global drug dealing, mafia. All of that is complete lies. All of those things come from Russia, not Ukraine. You know, Russia is not a Christian country. 6% of Russians go to church every week, and that's to the Orthodox Church, which is completely controlled by the KGB. Their abortion rate is 6 times America's. Their divorce rate is way above America's. Their alcoholism rate is way, way, way above America's. Drug addiction, AIDS, etc. Russia is a corrupt cesspool of a country run by a neo-communist dictator, but we have Americans supporting Russia against Ukraine with its complete religious liberty. Except they did shut down one church, one pro-Russian church, and that's been that mean that, that then they said, well, Zelensky's clamping down on religion. One pro-Russian church working directly for the Russians, just like when they shut down a couple of political parties in Ukraine, Tucker Carlson would say, look at Zelensky, he's cracking down on political opposition. Didn't mention it was the Ukrainian Communist Party he shut down, which was working directly as a spy for Moscow. So, yeah, my journey in New Zealand, which started in New Zealand, has led me to where I am today as a proud supporter of Ukraine, as a proud supporter of freedom, and someone who loves America and wants to see this country restored. So thanks for watching. Please go to my website, trevorlowden.com. See my books, see my DVDs. If you're in a war, you need to know your enemy. So God bless America. God bless New Zealand. God bless these two wonderful countries, and may they exist for a long time in freedom and harmony. And God bless Slava Ukraine. Thank you.